There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Yeah, welcome to From the Helicarrier with, I feel like in 1970s, I'm your rock jock, rock god of podcasting, Charles McFall, riding all night long with our peoples. Woo! Is Sin Raven of the Midnight Suns. And the man who loves to say booga on the radio is Kurt Booten.
Booga?
Oh, my God.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
It's been, what, 3 weeks now?
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Something like that. Are we actually on? Because I'm on the channel and I'm not seeing us on.
No, we're not live.
We're not live tonight. He's just recording.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, apparently I didn't hear the message.
That's what he was just talking about. Try to keep up.
Look, I can't.
Okay, up. Grandpa. I think it's nap time.
Wait, what?
Oh, man. That he's not grandpa, he's maestro. And even the maestro.
Wow.
That's pretty funny. There's a semi-new maestro comic.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Marvel Unlimited lags by like 3 months.
Yeah.
So only the first three first three issues are out. I think it's World War M is what they're calling it.
Okay.
And it's great. It's great.
That's awesome.
Maestro has pretty much taken over the world. He's made a cripple out of Victor Von Doom.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And he just found out that Atlantis is still around and Namor is still around.
Really? He just found that out?
Just found that out.
Okay.
And his commander-in-chief, not commander-in-chief, but like his... You know how every despot has like a secretary that follows him around and is the yes man?
The monkey in the back.
Yeah. So his yes man is Toro, the sidekick to the original Human Torch.
Oh my God.
So it's weird.
Speaking of comics, have you guys watched Sandman?
I saw the first episode. Loved it. It's slow, but I loved it.
I binged the crap out of that thing. Yeah. The first couple episodes are a little slow to develop characters and whatnot, but then it's awesome. And they had a couple of bottle episodes, just like the comics, where they just like they tell one encapsulated story.
Nice.
And one of the ones, and I don't, it's not really a spoiler because I'm not going to tell you any details about
sure,
it.
Sure.
But one of the stories that they reproduce is the one where a dude is given immortality just to see what happens, and he meets up with Sandman.
Probably my favorite episode for the whole thing.
It's great. Oh, and wow. he meets up with Sandman every 100 years in the same pub.
Right.
I like
it. And it's fantastic because they're all like, he's gonna wanna die now. Nope.
Every 100 years is like, this was terrible, but let's keep going.
That's me, man. I want immortality. I was like, oh, the heart. But think of the greatness.
The cool thing is, like, the dude is like he's well off and blah blah blah, and then he becomes basically homeless and completely destitute. And Sandman's like, surely you want to die now? He goes, no, the future has so much promise.
Right? It always has promise.
But nobody thinks in those terms, right? Especially when you're in the thick of the hurt.
Yep.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's and there are other episodes that are very, very good.
I really liked the first 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really, really liked that one. And then the second half of it was a little less. Like, I still enjoyed it, but like I didn't like it as much. But and I would have loved just to see, like, here's a 2-3 episode arc. Here's a 2-3 episode arc, because they had connections, like, from like the second episode. There's a connection to like the 7th episode.
Right.
And then like this story with this guy. And, you know, I would love to see just like the 1-2 pieces.
Well, and the cool thing is they included the House of Mystery right, as part of everything. And in the comics, they actually, so it's an adaptation of that, right? So
yeah,
in the comics, there was the House of Mystery and the House of Illusion.
I think it's Illusion. I need to go back and read two separate comic series. Yeah.
And they incorporated the houses as part of the show, and it's just so good. Just so good.
I very much enjoyed it.
Like, to the point where it's making me want to go and read the comics.
Nice.
Like, I was not ever, like, I read Sandman from time to time, but I was not like a, oh my god, I have to get them all.
Yeah, exactly the same. I've read a few, but now I'm like, hey, maybe I'll just pick up the trade backs.
It's kind of feeling like that. I kind of want to do that. It's so good.
Go to your local library. That's where I picked up my first
Sandman. Oh, that's not collection. A bad.
Yeah. Or, you know, go to your local shop and support it. Buy a comic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't do it from Barnes & Noble.
No.
I would say subscribe to DC, whatever they're calling it now.
But I don't want to give DC any money.
No, but here's the thing. They're not including the Vertigo.
Oh, they're not? Okay. No. Well, then I would definitely pick it up from the local comic store.
Why? Because DC are big dummies.
Well, that's why. As we were talking about pre-show.
Right.
So for those of you tuning into the podcast, we've changed this up a little bit. This show's been getting willy-nilly, honestly, for a little while. You know, it's been forced into, I'm still playing Strike Force right now. We're going to talk about some of the cool stuff that I'm doing with Strike Force. We're going to play some, actually, I don't know if I can play. I haven't done an update in like a month and a half, Kurt.
You got to do the update.
So I might do the update while we're recording.
You should be able to just do the update now straight from the store.
Okay. Yeah. I will definitely try that. I had to go through, but yeah, so we're gonna talk some Marvel Snap, we're gonna talk some Strike Force, but definitely more conversational, I think, and because I'm loving what this is doing. Because you mentioned Namor, of course, we're talking about Sandman, which, to tell you how good this is, I've talked about my wife multiple times on the show. She does not do slow, and she does not care if it's been from a comic book and has like let's give it a minute and see what they do. She just cares how good it is. We went through the whole episode. The first episode is all we've watched, but we went through the whole one, and admittedly, that first one is really slow-paced, but the whole thing was good, and she says at the end of it, man, that was a little slow, but I'd be willing to give it a couple more episodes to see what it does, and to hear you guys talk about finishing it and the highlights, because I did read some of the comics coming up. I, unfortunately, saw a TikTok of Neil Gaiman recently talking about how he's ashamed of basically every adaptation of his stuff, and
really?
how he actually, I forget what big movie it was, I even went really, but one of the first big adaptations that they did of his work, I cannot remember what it was early on, but he paid them to take his name off of it.
So basically everything that's been his lately, he's been hands-on with it, which is why it's been so good.
I'm hoping that he's happy with
this. So this thing, he was hands-on with this. It's really good. He was completely hands-on with Good Omens, and that was incredible.
And season 2 is coming right up,
too. Yeah, season 2 is coming up soon. And, you know, so you got a really great writer who wants to show a good product, and then you got two amazing actors that he gets to work with.
Yeah,
David Tennant and best friends. David Tennant. What's the other guy's name? Why am I blanking on it?
Now that I'm blanking on it too, it's contagious.
I absolutely love that show.
The guy who's not Simon Pegg.
Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen.
Yeah,
I didn't have the mic right. I just couldn't get the rest of it. Not Simon Pegg.
I am super looking forward to the second season.
I used to get Simon Pegg and Michael Sheen mixed up all the time.
Well, it's easy to not now because Michael Sheen works and Pegg doesn't. So,
no, but Tennant as Crowley was just freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And I want to see more. I want the next season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me more.
So I was talking about before we get on there, how I went to saw Nope and loved it. Right. Now, as you would anticipate, as I anticipated, there are a lot of, because Nope is from Jordan Peele. It is predominantly African-American in nature, which I think is amazing. We need more films like that. I've enjoyed seeing different aspects on the screen. I expected and got African-American trailers. However, they did it backwards to me. They started off with Wakanda Forever, you know, and I have to, I'll tell you about that in a second. As my first experience of that trailer, period.
So you hadn't seen it yet?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. So it gave me chills. Then they started talking about, I forgot the name of the movie, but Lady King is the next one. It's about the legendary, and by legendary I mean famous, not made up, tribe in Africa of all
female warriors. I saw that preview. Yeah,
it is so good looking too. Then they really got me uncomfortable, as they should, on the edge of my seat, talking about William Till, the young boy from Chicago back in the 50s or 60s that went down to Mississippi or Tennessee or somewhere, and this lady, the shopkeeper, falsely accused him of hitting on her or something back in segregation, and they lynched him and killed him. And that became a huge national story that helped bring light to lynching. And the line, "What happens when one of us affects us all," comes from her, the mother's speech. And that's a chilling trailer as well. And I mean, it's enough that I'm uncomfortable. I'm as expected, I guess, in my area and with the nature of the film. Me and my daughter are only two white people there. No one doesn't bother us. That trailer made me truly want to get up and go, "I'm so sorry that I want to invent time and just go back and kill all those white people." It was not because of white. It was the hatred. The hatred was horrible. It is a true story. It is a horribly true story. That lady's still alive today, and people are trying to get people to arrest her for it because it's coming out proven that she absolutely lied and got this kid murdered. But it's horrible. Then here's what they did backwards. Great trailer, great trailer, great trailer. And then the stupid, cheesiest, whitest horror film comes out. It's called What Makes You Smile. I'm like, the hell are you doing? I'm usually not about race ever. And even I'm going, what's up, Whitey? This is dumb. Oh, thank you for drawing on my screen, Kurt. I appreciate you. I forgot you did that. So they should have done it back. Show all the cheesy standard horror crap that, of course, will be on the front of this movie, because Nope is technically like a thriller horror kind of show. But that Wakanda, and then they would do the good trailers towards the end. Because if they had led up to Wakanda and then right to the movie, that would have been a much better flow of trailers.
Gotcha.
Wakanda Forever gave me chills, man. And
yeah,
I know, Kurt, I hate you so much for what you're about to do. You're about to crush my hopes and dreams. But what I saw, the underwater tribes, like, Namor? Oh. Are we getting Namor? Give me Namor! Yeah.
No. We absolutely are getting Namor.
Yes! You didn't crush my dreams. I love you again.
No. And they showed him. Like, he's that guy.
But he's not,
that guy.
It's not blatantly clear from the comics.
They did change it. From everything I heard, they changed him
appearance.
Movie.
Yeah. Because I've seen plenty of Namor in the comics. He did not have the standard V-cut black
hair. No.
So I wasn't sure, because they get my hopes up and crush him all the time in these trailers.
Yeah. I mean, he looks very different from the comics. But it doesn't matter, because we get Namor. I mean,
Yeah.
I was like, if this isn't Namor, it's only because they had to change some shit to make it adjacent to that stuff, because
I think they're making him more like South American tribe.
That makes sense.
I don't know the details.
It's not clear, but it almost seems like Atlantis is kind of right off the coast of Wakanda. The trailer almost makes it look like an all out attack by Atlantis to basically put Wakanda underwater.
It was hard to tell if they were fighting side by side or attacking each other.
I think a whole lot of Wakandans are dying. I think a whole lot of Wakandans are dying. So, and then we get our first peek of Riri Williams making her armor. It's so good. November 11th.
It legit, the way they cut, I don't know if there's multiple trailers out there. I never know. I just see one and I just skip it from there.
I've only seen one so far.
So the way they cut it with that opening speech of her going,
"My
family is dead." And just from that moment, I mean, I literally got chills. And had I been just about anywhere else, I mean, I really mostly was like, Wakanda Forever. But I was like, no, if I do that here, they're going to think I'm posing, because they're not here for Marvel films. They're here for Nope. They don't understand. But no, this it will probably be one of the most impactful Marvel films that could has be. Come out, I think.
Could be. It's and then the weird part is at the end of the movie, at the end of the trailer, where we see the claws, right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
I'm still thinking either Shuri,
right?
That or my long shot pick is Killmonger comes back.
They're not going to give him the suit. He would have to steal it, and that'd be a whole different ballgame. I don't know, man.
Multiverses change all kinds of things.
You are correct with that statement. That is true.
That's why I just don't know, right? I mean, it's comic book movies, right? You can make anything work.
You're right. Right.
And so they could Michael B. Jordan, look, to kill him off in one movie.
And then they brought him back, though. But you're right. They brought him back in What If.
Yeah.
And he survived What If. And we already know Heartless Strange came through from What If.
Right.
So. Right.
So there's possibilities.
Man, you went from grumpy old curmudgeon that was going to crush my soul to giving me hope for Christmas again.
No, Namor. What was great was that Namor was always kind of like, are they going to do it? And they just in the trailer just said, yep, we're just going to give them to you. Here you go.
And I totally get. I mean, honestly, I think changing the look of all the characters from the early days. And I mean, Namor has never lost that V cut. You know, I am Russian.
Well, they even gave him the feathers on the ankles thing, but on his boots. So, because in the comics, he had wings on his ankles so he could fly.
And some of them, yeah, some of the versions.
And that's kind of silly. Yes. And so, but they put him on his boots as like an homage to that. So,
sponsored by Red Bull. but hey, you talked about that. We called you Maestro. We talked about the good comics and stuff.
Yeah,
they're dropping Team Green up in Strike Force, and I am stoked for it. Although I'm very disappointed that it's not Amadeus Cho. Instead, it's Kid Hulk, or I forget the stupid name.
Yeah, they're going with the Amadeus Cho as in Braun.
As Braun, but not as Amadeus Cho. Okay, so
well, she's just going by Braun, but it's the same character.
All right, that threw me off because I didn't read enough of Cho to know they got to Braun. So I just saw the name Braun, I'm like, eh. I don't know what this is.
So it's the Gamma Smash team. It's Hulk and She-Hulk got reworks. Abomination and Braun coming in as the two characters. And Abomination, I believe, is supposed to be next month's overall monthly event character. And like when we talked about it months ago, when we were like, hey, who could be the Horseman of War? We said Red Hulk. Yeah. Red Hulk is coming in as the Horseman of War.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And
I'm a little surprised he hasn't been previously.
Right. So, you know, we called it. I don't care who says what. the thing that's kind of cool, though, She-Hulk has some kind of ability. I don't remember. She's got some, like, continuous effect, but Red Hulk is going to have a battlefield effect. So he's going to affect the scene altogether. The other stuff that we just got the Bionic Avengers team.
Yeah, Hulkbuster.
Yeah, Hulkbuster, Viv Vision, Deathlok. Iron Man and Vision got reworks. They did something they haven't done before. Viv has an ability that attacks a line like Disney Sources Arena does. Instead of adjacent characters, it attacks the front line.
It's about time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So that's new. That team is massive. That team is killing everything. So I'm looking forward to building that up whenever I have the time, because I'm still working on Unlimited X-Men, which came out just before that. So they've been really, really fast on the releases, which is annoying. Also gets all the gear kind of disappears when you're going that hard on that many characters. But the BA team, the Bionic Avengers team, is your raid tech team. Because for Doom 2 and now for Doom 3, there hasn't been like a specific team to use. So for Doom 2, it was like Kestrel with Doom, maybe Shuri with Doc Ock. You know, it was a mix of stuff that kind of worked. But now you actually have a full team. So like Web Warriors is your bio team for Doom 2.
Yeah.
They're fine for Doom 3, but they're not really holding up. So I can see them doing another bio team for raids later on, you know, to give us something. We don't really have a skill team, but Secret Avengers with Shang-Chi and who's the fifth that I use? I don't remember. There's a fifth that I use with it. That team works fine. They get through the nodes. But again, it's not a specific team. So the BA team is going to be specifically for the tech nodes and the raids. And apparently they're doing extremely well in, you know, 3.3, 3.4, at like 4 stars, five stars. So not even super high powered up. So you got that. And then, of course, we still have one more team to come. We still don't know who the Horseman of Death is going to be. We know that I think actually BA is one of the unlock teams for it, if I remember correctly. Don't quote me on that. But we still don't know who that last horseman is. Of course, they did give us what we're going to need for overall later on to get Apocalypse. You're going to need all these teams maxed out and all the horsemen maxed out. They've also introduced Horseman Sagas.
Yes.
So you can, which is really cool because you can go in and it's three levels, you know, easy, hard, and whatever, right? But it's three levels. And the second level of it gives you stuff specific to that character. So like right now, only the Pestilence one for Morgan is live. The level two will get you stuff to upgrade her to her special and her passive one more level. So she's a charge, you know, they get a charge character. So it's a new ability increase with new stuff for the horsemen. Nobody else has that yet. She's the only one so far.
So, but so these sagas thing, that's kind of new, right?
I mean, yeah, that's fairly new. That's like last month, like 2 months.
Yeah, and as you see, I can't even qualify for it because I don't have Agatha Harkness to open.
That's
it
pretty
up.
Cool, though. I kind of dig that aspect of things.
I absolutely, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, because you get Morgan, and she's really good, and then you get to do this and improve her even further.
Right.
And all with the horsemen are going to have this. Yeah, with her own team. And all the horsemen are going to have this thing. And then level 90 gear 17 is going to be needed for, you know, Apocalypse later on. So we'll see how that goes.
So let's talk about, speaking of leveling people up, talk about these upgrades to Hulk. First off, my Hulk is the prettiest and loveliest. Level 85, tier gear 16.
You got to get him hired. Man, you're already 87. Why is your Hulk 85?
Oh, crap. You're right.
Click that button. There you go.
Actually, I'm being a little smart. I'm trying to get some other things taken care of.
So all right.
This Apocalypse stuff. But, yeah, no, he can get up there. Was that blue gear 3, level 3,
right,
across the board? But here's some of these upgrades. I mean, actually, I'm going to start from the bottom up. These upgrades, this rework is great. The first one didn't change much. Smash, right? Attack primary target for 300% damage, rather. Targets below 50% health or has charge, gains 50% damage. If it has charge, lose one charge. Huh? Excuse me, sorry. Then rage. The character below 50%. Kurt says drugs are hilarious. If this character is below 50% health or has charge, attack primary for 500% damage. That's solid for level 2 attack. However, this is the best. Gain taunt. If this character has any gamma or wave one Avenger allies, gain 5 counters. And when I tell you, that shit triggers. It triggers. I mean, he went to town cleaning house of the night every time somebody tried to hit
It's rude. He's kind of rude.
I can't erase what Kurt's drawing, so it just distracts me. Then Leap gets attack primary for 330 and adjacent for 260% damage. This character is below 50% health or has charge, gains another 50% damage. On war defense, if the target has revived once, let me scroll down, clear that from the target, and then Hulk gets it. So he doesn't just get it anymore, but he can steal it from somebody, which is pretty cool. But you're going to do it once in the match, which is a little disappointing, but I kind of get it, because that would be... Where'd the googly eyes go? How'd you get googly eyes in Zoom? Then his always angry is passive. In war on spawn, if this character has three or more gamma allies, gain taunt. So that's good. You don't have to have three. You don't have to have all four there. When this character drops below 50% health, fill the bar by 100%. So there's your speed complaint, Kurt. Yep. When this character drops below 50% health, fill the speed bar by 100%, clear the stun, gain offense up, and charge one charge up to a max of five. Then, when we drop below 25% health, gain death proof, clear all negative effects, gain one charge up to max of five. Man, it just keeps going. When enemy attacks any Gamma or Wave 1 Avenger ally, which of course is who you're going to run them with, right? You fill his speed bar by 15%. So already we're speeding Hulk up a lot going on here. So anytime your partners get hit, you speed up. Gain 10% health, gain 30% armor. Gamma gets 30% if you're below 50. It just keeps going. It's just more armor, more health. And then on taunt, I get 1,000% resistance on this thing. Tell me now, 6 years later. Tell me
six
now
years later, right?
That it's not worth investing in Hulk in this game.
3 years later, he's investing. He's worthy of investing, and you actually gave him a need Gamma him.
Team.
Yeah, you actually yeah. gonna need him for stuff. So 3 years later.
But yeah, I was showing you this too. Oh no!
Whoa!
Didn't mean to do that. My wife is offering me Waffle House. I have to hold off till we're done here. Won't tell. Give me about 40 minutes. Because, you know, I don't like to pass
it's
up
Waffle House. House.
Right. But you know, pass up Waffle House. But it's not, we're talking about, Kurt, the apocalypse raids, which are not raids, whatever you want to call them, challenges. They're really, really cool. But there's also epic campaigns, what they call it now. They also have the Dark Dimension, so that they've and
yeah they moved it to more. They moved it to a new spot. They basically changed the name of that to be
right.
Epic Campaigns, and they're going to put everything that's big into that but section.
Everything that's big and not a raid.
Yeah. And that apocalypse, though, because they were so timed on coming around, and you can only do so much. Just to have that permanently there is such a great thing. I was out for a couple of weeks, right, doing this onboarding with a new company, and the short version for everybody listening is that my company absorbed another company that's twice our size, instantly tripling our size overnight, and that's been an interesting rodeo to ride. But I didn't know how much a streak actually mattered in this game until I lost it. And I was like, God. Yeah, it's just logging in, and I just there were definitely days I didn't even have time to breathe or eat, much less log in, and so it was a thing. But yeah, that streak, and they really get you when you're in there and you're looking at you're trying to clear off your milestones, and it's like red dot, oh, but not really a red dot because your streak's not active, so you can't clear this off. Look what you could get, and it's great incentive. It really is to say, hey, just log in. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do anything else in the game. Just log in.
Yeah, just that log streak in. Up
and you get, the first hit's free, man.
Yeah, man. Just log in.
So that's why I've
been can't get hooked about. By logging in.
The Cosmic Crucible. I have got a pattern down now where I destroy the first team, forget to do any fights on the second time, and do fairly well or get challenged maybe. On the third round, which this one wasn't a challenge, and then ended up winning each time. I don't know why that is. It's not intentional, but somehow I keep missing that second round every single time. But it's I mean, it's just free stuff. It's not epic. Man, the strike pass. I might have to spend money on the strike pass. I really want Nico's alt
costume.
Yeah. Yeah, I really would like to get her costume bits. And honestly, I'm only at 50 out of 80 to rank her up, so I could probably really use the shards as well. But I'm going to have to. What do you have to do, besides activate, obviously, but what do you have to do to really get all of these milestones completed? Because this is just a strike pass.
It's just your daily stuff.
So you don't really have
it's to do just going through, you know, do your raids and do your energy and do whatever you do on a regular basis, and you get through it.
I got you. All right, I'm going to work on that. I'll try to do the update here in just a few minutes, Kurt. But what's been going on with Snap? What's got you excited over there?
So, okay. So first, if you hadn't gotten the update, anybody who spent money on the Nexus event, which happened and was summarily panned by everybody.
It was bad.
It was bad. It was bad. In a move that Scopely would never do, Second Dinner gave back everybody's money, like from a gold standpoint.
All right. That's impressive.
And then one of the things in the Nexus event is that if you pulled the right loot box, because that's all it was, if you pulled the right loot box, you might have had a chance to get the Mighty Thor Jane Foster. And they just gave her to everybody.
To everybody or just people who spent money?
No, to everybody.
Oh, so I got to do that.
Now, new players, for brand new players like that come in after that day, they'll be able to pull her from, I think, pool three of the cards. But for everybody who's been playing, they just gave it to her. Gave her to everybody. So it's been interesting. So we've gone through a couple of events. The event that we're on right now is Heroes for Hire.
Okay.
And one of the things they teased was, hey, the new card coming out is going to be the best lawyer in the MCU. And everybody was like going, oh, we're getting She-Hulk.
Nope.
And I look, when everybody was, I was on a couple of streams and people are saying She-Hulk, and I'm going, you guys forget.
Daredevil.
Matt
Murdock. He's a really good lawyer.
Right. Yeah.
Remember, he gets his bricks.
And sure enough, it was Daredevil. So
honestly, I just say this from the comments, but he's a better lawyer than Jennifer, in my opinion.
It's so different. So, and they might face each other in She-Hulk, who knows, from a law standpoint.
It would not surprise me if he shows up on the show.
Well, he did in the trailer.
That he's in
She-Hulk. He's in the trailer.
Right.
So,
I didn't know he's in the trailer, but yeah.
So there is another person that might show up in the show that we were not expecting, but you'll learn about that on this week in MCU.
Ah, good teaser.
So season missions got a little bit of a rework. We're still getting new locations. The location that's featured right now is Fisk Tower, which is if any cards move to this location, they get destroyed.
Wow.
And I don't like that. Well, I don't either, but I like it okay because I just won't play my move deck. Right. People who play move decks, if Fisk Tower gets put in like the middle section, it's a problem. It's a big problem. I had been working towards and waiting for my to get Falcon, and I finally pulled Falcon a couple nights ago. So Falcon, when you play Falcon, it returns all one cost cards to your hand.
But you lose that off. Why would you want to do that? Because you lose it off the board.
You do. But if you're playing Falcon in a collector deck, any cards that go to your hand that you don't draw add power to the collector.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so it's good. I also have been playing around with a destruction deck, sort of, which is destroy cards in your hand on purpose. So you use cards like Blade.
Yeah, yeah.
You use cards like Lady Sif and Swordmaster, Hellcow. In my deck, I've got Hellcow, Lady Sif, and Blade. And what happens is, like, you also have the cards that you use for kind of the key of the whole thing are Swarm and Apocalypse. And Swarm, when you destroy Swarm, it will generate 2 zero-cost Swarm cards in your hand. And for each one of those that you destroy, you get 2 more. So it builds. Apocalypse, when you destroy Apocalypse, he comes back +2. So he never dies. He just keeps coming back. And so you set up these combinations where they can keep getting destroyed over and over again. And then you lay them all down on turn 6 and people lose their minds because there's nothing you can do. But as with everything, you have to get the combos. But it's good. So they kind of redid the season missions and they redid, the season pass and the collection levels so that you feel like you're getting more now when you hit those. I really enjoy the daily missions and the weekly missions. You seem to get a good amount of loot. I'm sitting on right now, no credits because I spend those once I hit 500, but I'm sitting on gold at like 5,675.
Nice.
Yeah, because again, they refunded everybody's gold,
right,
from that event, and they basically said, "So we heard you. We're taking them off the table. We're not doing that anymore, and we're just going to rethink how we can monetize differently."
Yeah, like they did the right thing.
The right thing to do, and you rarely see that. Like literally, I would not have been surprised if they said, "We've heard you. We're going to take Nexus off the table. Thank you for bearing with us."
Right. Too bad for your money.
Right. Because that feels... Scopely would have done that.
Well, but we're talking Brody. This is...
No, I know. That's all the difference in the world.
School, yeah, this is old school Blizzard. This is not current Blizzard.
Right.
Thank God. It's old school Blizzard. Right. This isn't right. We're going to fix it.
Right. But people aren't used to that.
No.
So
and honestly, I really miss that from Blizzard.
Yeah, me too. So yeah, it's still a lot of fun. I'm still trying to climb the rank to infinite. I'm not sure I'm gonna get there, because one of the big tactics that you have to deal with is that snap mechanic,
right?
And if you really know how to play that snap mechanic, you can climb pretty quickly. But that what that requires is don't snap on everything.
Right.
And retreat a lot. Like it's kind of like
terrible
poker.
At retreating.
Me too. But it's kind of like poker, right? Where you just go, there is no way this math is going to work. I'm retreating. And just suck it up and do it.
Yeah.
And so in an effort for that, that's why I started keeping track of my cubes, the cubes that you win. And so I have a counter when I play on stream where I keep track of how many cubes I've won and lost. And you want to stay to the positive. If you stay to the positive, you will progress. That's really all it is. And so, yeah, it's been going all right. It's been going all right. My collection levels right now is sitting at 1613. So it's slowed down a bit.
You more than double mine.
Well, I've been playing more, right? I mean,
yeah.
So, and I think I'm not halfway through. So the one thing that they still need to address are boosters. Because boosters stink. Did the update not work for you?
Not yet. I'm still trying to get it opened.
But I've gotten some decent variant cards, which have been pretty cool. In fact, while you're doing that, let me share my screen. So you guys can see.
Wow, you got variations on the hood.
Yeah. So
how many Ant-Man do you need?
I have ended up with a whole lot of Ant-Mans.
What's the difference between these two three Ant-Mans on the L shape? Okay.
So there's a couple things. When you get past Infinite, which is the level, well, green, blue, purple, orange,
Infinite. It's like the 600 point.
And then the sixth one. It basically it splits the card and gives you another card with that to start over with.
Okay.
So this
it's
is
got just a slightly different background to it. There's a slight change to it.
Yeah, so this Ant-Man's kind of like the regular background, right? And actually I'll show you one. Oh yeah. And this is the same one, but it's kind of got like a rainbow or a foil sheen behind it.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yes, I do.
Kind of glowy thing.
Hollow. Yeah.
Yeah. The hollow foil type thing, right? So there's that. I also noticed that I must have split one of the splits because this one also has these.
Yeah, it's exactly the same as the other one.
But it's also got these things rotating around it.
So that's like level 3.
I think so.
That's cool.
So. And these purple spots in the background, the comic spots or whatever.
They're Ditko dots.
Ditko dots. That's exactly what I was talking about.
He's got Ditko dots behind him. That's actually really cool. I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, for whatever reason, Ant-Man, I just ended up with a ton of them. I'm not sure why. So there's that. The hood, I actually really like this variant. It's just the kind of a more comic booky variant. Let's see. Agent 13, same. I like my Pixel Iceman. I also like the chibi ones too. So
I really like the chibi ones. It's really hard for me to pass on buying them in the store.
Yeah, I'm passing on that, but I understand. You had a whole bunch of Angelas as well. I got a Forge variant, which is pretty cool. Collector. I like this collector quite a bit. And the chibi collector. Let's see. There's a really cool Bishop that should be here somewhere. Oh, this is the Star-Lord chibi that I got, which I like.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
So as much it's not really a collector game as much as it is a collector game that you get all the different style of cards.
It's just cosmetic, right? And it increases your collector level, but that's the beauty of this is that they're all just cosmetic. I like this version of Domino. I dig that. Kind of a cartoony version.
So how many cards do you have? Is there an easy way to see that?
No. I don't know if they ever give you a total. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. You can turn off the variants so that you only see one at a time. But this is the Lady Sif variant. Kind of a painted look. It's kind of cool. And this is the Bishop that I like that I
all got right, recently. Apparently I'm not getting the right download file because I keep getting told my version is not compatible. I just got 3.1. What's the actual
version? I think it's higher.
Let's see.
I just Googled Marvel Snap
4.62.
Yeah, you want to look for 4.62.
That would be why it's not having success.
Yeah. And are you going to, what was it, APK Mirror?
That's the first one that pops out. That's not the one I went to originally. Is that a good one?
I think that's the one that I was going to, but let me check here.
New Verse is where we got the other ones before. So as long as it says that.
I think it was APK Mirror that I went to, yeah, and they have 4.62.
Yeah, I'm on that
And one it is now. New Verse. It is New Verse. That's the uploader.
Yeah, and, I think I got something going right now.
And in case you don't, I put it in the chat.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, really, what I've been concentrating mostly on is the missions. So you get your daily missions that fill out throughout the day. They did add a new type of mission this week, this season. One of them was win games with Punisher starting in your deck.
That's new.
So they never had used characters as part of the missions before, which I love. I like that idea a lot because that forces more variety in gameplay. The missions that I have available right now are really just one of the weekly ones before refresh and win a location with four cards. The ones that I hate, win a location by snap.
Yeah.
I hate those so much because they're just hard to do. There was one that was win all three locations, which is also very difficult to do.
Yeah,
but I did it but they only want you to do it once. So I just happened on it where I was playing my Kamar-Taj deck where I had Wong, which doubles the on reveal effects of any card that's played there, on a Kamar-Taj, which doubles the on reveal. So when you first put like a white tiger on a Wong on Kamar-Taj, you generate four tiger spirits.
Wow.
Which are seven power. So you instantly could fill up a location with 28 power, which is not particularly easy to overcome. So it's pretty cool. This Fisk Tower thing is also a bummer if you get it with Bifrost, which is another new location. And Bifrost basically just says, hey, move all the cards one space to the right on turn four. Right.
Then it gets shredded.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of fun. That's kind of...
It is. It is. And then there's still some of the griefing locations, which are things like Ego and Worldship. Worldship basically kills the other locations, so you end up playing only one. And then what's that one? And that ends the game at turn four.
I haven't seen that.
I forgot which one. The Loki thing, VTA?
TVA.
TVA,
yeah. Yep. And so you're begging for a Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
So Fisk Tower you can play on. It's no big deal. It's just if things get moved onto it when trouble happens.
Gotcha. How are you doing with matchups? Is it more and more humans, or is it still a lot of robots?
A lot of bots still. A lot of bots. And you can tell, one of the ways to tell the bots right now is they play variant cards that you can't get yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the big tell is what they call the Inkify, which are the black and white cards.
Huh.
You can't get those. So, and I love that. I love that idea. Storm.
Well, you know, that's kind of what happened in Strikeforce, is as we're starting this mission to get Viv Vision, you're fighting against the Gamma team, which you can't get in the game yet either.
Right.
Oh, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, the interesting thing with Wave, which I just pulled, is on reveal next turn cards in both players' hands cost 4.
I love that card.
It's cool if you can play it the right way.
I have a mega deck, so it's got Wave in it, and it's got a bunch of 6-stars.
Yep.
So it'll just play Wave, play something big on the next turn, and I really like it when I get like the location that copies the card.
Yeah.
I'll play Wave, it'll give me that card, I'll play something else, then I'll play Wave again.
Yep.
And then play something else. That one becomes really fun.
Yeah. So this is a Wong. I'm going to play White Tiger. It's going to fill up the center with 2 7 power cards.
So I just logged in. I got the update done. They did give me Jane Foster Thor, although the graphics not working correctly.
Okay, yeah. BlueStacks has been having some problems with some of the graphics. It will load after a while.
But it also gave me a Professor X card, which I did not have before.
Huh.
Professor X is locked down this location's card. Added, removed, or destroyed.
So yeah, that's weird. That work?
If you put him on the Fisk Tower, and then it's to move the cards to the right, and it hits Fisk Tower. Between Fisk Tower and Professor X, does it just shut it down? They don't move?
I think it just shuts it down. I think Professor X is one of those rare cards where you can't move cards into that location.
Yeah, it says that.
Yeah.
It locks
down. Right, well, some of them that get locked down are like if you play a card here, it gets destroyed, but you might be able to move it there. But Professor X is special.
He has a helmet and everything.
Yeah.
Come on, that was funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a bus, but it's a wheelchair.
I don't think I had Carnage before either.
You sure? Because Carnage is like pool one.
Maybe.
Carnage
maybe.
Is pretty early. You can share again if you want. But.
Honestly, I haven't played in a while, so I don't know for sure. And I need to fix my unplayable deck because something's going wrong there. And that's the ones I was doing where it's all the grays. Like you suggested. Right.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, you're missing 4 cards. So.
Do they add 4 more?
You
have to add the other 4. Well, no, so I mean, it does. In this case, I mean,
always 10 slots or no?
Yes.
12, but yes.
12.
Whatever.
And I'm hoping that they'd never change that.
Yeah, I don't particularly want more cards.
I think we can carry more than 12 with things like that get added to your deck, but I don't want to have to start designing 14 card decks, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there you go. You can add your Hulk.
Yeah. I just throwing in some randos at this point.
And you don't have straight up Thor, right?
Correct.
All right, so a couple of cards that you might want to throw in there.
Okay.
Cable, which takes a card from your opponent's deck.
Right.
Mantis does the same thing. You've already got that up there. Cable, I mean, is the obvious one from that right. one.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm still red lighting. What am I missing? What did I not click on my collection to make this red light go away?
Sort by it on the left hand side. Yep, that sort by upgradable.
Oh, I see. It's morph. It's right there.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't popping out at me at first.
Like, yeah. I think you got morph pretty early too. I recall waiting on morph. Morph is kind of cool because he'll become a random card from your opponent's deck or from your opponent's hand.
Yeah. Okay, Carnage was the last
card. Oh, you just got. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I didn't remember him. Yeah.
But well, you know what? Let me. Oh, it doesn't matter now. All right. Well, I'm gonna play this unplayable deck. I haven't.
Yeah.
Man, I've not played. It's been hot. Well, since 3.0.1, and we're at 4.6.2. So
right. So you that this is 3 versions later.
I'm very.
But this one was a major upgrade.
Okay.
Okay, so there's your camartage. On reveal effects happened twice. That cable, if you can play it there, that now will put two of their cards in your deck.
Yeah, what we got here? Squirrel.
And that's another meta that's got to be coming, depending on other cards that get released, but a mill deck that basically just pulls all their cards out of their deck. To grief them, it's going to be really annoying. Yeah, so right there, Charles, you pulled Carnage out of their deck.
Yeah.
Guarantee you they wanted Carnage to be able to destroy that Nova that they just played.
Oh, gotcha. Cloning Vast, when you play a card here, you add a copy to your hand.
Yep.
Ooh, should I throw Carnage there?
You can. I'm trying to think of something else that might be better. I mean, you've got two Carnages already. Forge is pretty cool because it on reveal, the next card you get is plus two.
Oh, crap, my neck. So, Sin, I know you do your daily streams. Have you been focusing on this or other games? What you've been
focusing on? You know, when I play this, it's like for a little while on my own, and like I haven't played in a week. So, you know, I'll jump in and play like 20 games, get a bunch of quests done, and then I'll forget about it for a week. And I kind of like that because I'm not stressed over, hey, let's get into this game and get all the dailies done on this one as well.
Right. It is a little bit more forgiving to allow you to kind of play at your own pace.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty much at the point now where if I'm not streaming it, I just log in, do my dailies, make sure I get the weeklies that have popped for that week or so far, and I'm good. And if you've not gotten your free credits out of the store, make sure you do that.
Apparently, I need to watch She-Hulk tonight because my buddy just texted me. He's like, have you watched She-Hulk? It's like, no. It's Thursday. I'm
and busy. Don't spoil it for me.
Yeah.
One spoiler question, though.
Yeah.
Something I noticed in the trailers, the other people have pointed out, is that Hulk himself looks like he's got Marvel movie level graphics, and she didn't look like that.
She didn't in the original trailer. She looks much better now.
Okay, that's what I was asking, if they really tightened that up.
Yeah. And they resolve some things about Hulk in this very first episode. So it's pretty cool. So Sen, the one thing I was thinking is, if you, because sometimes you stay up till midnight to watch the shows.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to do that yesterday.
You know, you only have to wait until 9 p.m., right?
No, because they don't show up that early on for me, at least.
West Coast? But VPN to an East Coast server, man.
Then I have to deal with setting up a VPN.
You don't have a VPN?
That's just more headache than it's worth. No, I actually don't.
Oh, you don't subscribe. Okay. Yeah, I subscribe to NordVPN, who we would gladly take on as a sponsor.
Absolutely.
Because that would allow you to watch it 3 hours earlier.
I think I use Surfshark to try to do some BBC stuff, which, by the way, we started doing it to get the Ghosts, the original Ghost TV series out of the BBC, which is great. And then CBS brought it over. CBS can leave the country nicely and fuck right off because they ruin everything. Because they brought over the show called, they didn't call it Miranda, but it's a show called Miranda. And Mayim Bialik starred in it. Where we're like, okay, it's Mayim Bialik, a new sitcom. We're gonna check it out, and immediately, we're like, why is she talking to the screen like Miranda? Why is she doing this like Miranda? So we stopped it and went up and looked up. I forget what it's called. And this is like last
fall. Was it the Call Me Cat?
Yes, Call Me Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, this is weird and cheesy, but she's doing all this. And sure enough, they absolutely imported Miranda without Miranda Hart, the creator, and no pun on her last name, the heart of the show, and made it Call Me Cat, giving it to Mayim Bialik. And it just, and we're like, no, we know what the original is. We can't.
I had no idea that was based on anything.
Yep. And it's on Hulu. You can watch Miranda. It's great.
Such no, it's fun. Not Miranda, that YouTuber teenage Miranda annoying thing, right?
No. You'd recognize her as tall, fun lady. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
But it's a BBC show?
Yes, Miranda is. So the reason I bring it up is because Ghosts, we got the VPN to watch Ghosts on the BBC. And then CBS brought Ghosts to America and Americanized the shit out of it. And it's horrible. Now, it might not be horrible in itself, but when you know the original content, it's horrible. However, I say all that and say you don't need a VPN. You can go to HBO Max, watch the three seasons of Ghosts that are out right now, and it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I watch one BBC show, and it's a stupid guilty pleasure.
What is it? Great British Bake Off.
No. Ah. So look. So what I'm talking about is a regular series.
Okay.
Great British Bake Off. I will defend until I die. It's fantastic. Yes. And so those kinds of shows and the Gordon Ramsay shows. I love all that stuff.
Sure.
But I watch as a guilty pleasure a very long running BBC soap opera.
Oh, no. What do you watch?
It's called Coronation Street.
Oh, my God.
And Hulu rebroadcasts it, and they lag behind 2 weeks. And there was only one time where there was a storyline going on, and I'm going, they're 2 weeks ahead of me in the UK. I kind of need to know what's happening. but over there they do 2 half-hour episodes per day. Wow. Which is weird, but they do 2 half-hour episodes per day with a half an hour split in between them. Like they break for a half an hour for news or something. I don't know. But I've been watching that for a couple of years now. Wow. and it's half-hour episodes, and it's every morning, it's the first thing I watch. I don't know why. I got caught up in it. And I had tried, because look, I'm an 80s kid, 70s, 80s kid. And in the 80s, I watched General Hospital like every other kid my age in the 80s. It was all about Luke and Laura, and all of that. I tried to watch General Hospital now. Oh my God, no! it's like as over the top as soaps like Dynasty and all those nighttime soaps got. It's now stupid. Like it's worse. It's just the worst thing ever. And the UK stuff is just tamer. It's just like more like cut of life type thing. It's just like, this is just what's going on. I find it more interesting. Yeah. But I have used my VPN to check out Netflix in other countries and BBC, just to see like if I thought there was a new show coming on, even things like Eurovision. Right. If you want to watch any Eurovision, you can't watch it in the United States, which is insane to me. But it's all that. But you can use the VPNs here in the United States, which I think is the point.
All that to say, Sin, you're missing out. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. You could watch She-Hulk a lot earlier.
If you just moved to Atlanta, you can go film on some of these sets and see it a lot earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think She-Hulk was filmed in Atlanta, though.
You don't think so?
I don't.
Well, it takes place in California.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it probably filmed out in LA or somewhere, or even Vancouver, because Vancouver looks a lot like California at times. One, because I didn't see casting calls go out for it.
It's filmed in Atlanta.
Was it really?
Huh. Yeah.
I am surprised at that.
Oh, yeah, it does say Atlanta filmed. Weird.
Normally, I see all the different casting. And, you know, even though they use code names, it gets out very fast of what the project is. And
oh, sure.
Maybe they just didn't need somebody like me because I'm not a California dude. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. With that hair, you can be from certain parts of California.
Look, if it wasn't cultural appropriation, I'm the perfect Amadeus Cho. I'm just saying, I got the hair already. I got the bulk. I mean, they'd have to like work me out, get the six pack and shit. But I got Amadeus Cho, except
You're way older than he is.
You're way older and you're white.
Yeah, I'm too white. I'm too, well, too black, white, non-Asian.
You could be that? Rick Jones' dad when he was A-bomb. All right. And it was funny. I looked up Amadeus Cho because I hate the Braun name. I hate it.
Yeah,
I don't like that either.
And he was going for a while by Totally Awesome Hulk. Yeah, which is
that's
a much better name.
It's corny, but it's a much better name.
Right.
But yeah, whatever. Braun. Okay. I still think the best Gamma name from all the Gamma infused characters, it really is Maestro.
Yeah.
It's so good. And he's such a jerk.
You just brought that back full circle with starting off with the Maestro realm. So Maestro, Kurt, where can we find you on the web?
I can be found all over the place. Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, TikTok at VO by Kurt. And on Twitch, I am streaming, I don't know, three nights a week on average, I guess. Mostly Marvel Snap at this point. I did stream the other night a little bit of Pokemon Unite, which is the Pokemon MOBA, which, because I'm not a MOBA guy, but I wanted to try it out, and I'm kind of digging it so far because it's not as complicated as things like League of Legends.
Well, that's good.
So, and then, obviously Sen and I are together doing, This Week in MCU, and we'll be going over the first episode of She-Hulk this week. And I am recording, I gotta figure out the timing of that because I forgot about that on Sunday. I'm recording the pilot two episodes of another This Week show. Yeah,
pilot episode.
Well, we're gonna record two episodes to see if it works.
Okay.
And the working title may or may not be This Week in Raccoon City.
Oh God,
I've been enjoying the series, and I don't have stars to watch the stupid Welcome to Raccoon City, the new movie that they have out. That's only the stars, but I'm actually really digging.
And this is a co-host that I've not co-hosted with before.
Oh no, now that's a rookie mistake right there.
No, I think you'd approve, but yeah. So we're gonna record two episodes and see how it goes. But I forgot I'm gonna be away this weekend, so Sunday's we'll gonna be a challenge.
Just let me know.
Well, no, so This Week in MCU has the priority.
Okay.
Because that's not launched yet, and this is ongoing. We have to do this.
Okay.
So I'll deal with that end of things, because it may just be that I push that back to the end of the day. He's in the same time zone as me, so we'll be going there. And otherwise, the only other thing is my poetry series on Storytime with Kurt, and I need to come up with one for August, and August is quickly running through, but I'm 90% sure we're doing a Robert Frost poem.
Man, August is almost done, son.
I know. I'll be doing some recording, I think. So, Charles, where can people find Senraven?
Every day over at twitch.tv/Senraven, where the hype train is real. And if you don't contribute, you should just go get out of this country because we don't want you no more.
Yeah, I'm on every day. I'm actually on later today, for those that are listening, but I'm also doing it on Saturday. I got a sponsorship stream from Fortnite, of all things.
Really?
Yeah, they want like two streams of 2 hours each, so I figure I might as well do it. And you know, the more sponsorships you do, the more other ones you get. I've done a couple before, so I'm streaming that tonight. I'll be streaming it again on Saturday afternoon. So if you want to come by and make fun of me for getting shot constantly, feel free to drop on in. Other than that, it's just MSF every morning on twitch.tv/sunraven. Come on by, say hello.
Nice. Charles.
I will come on by and say hello, of course, and try. Absolutely. I downloaded, dude, you got some sponsorship not that long ago with Among Us knockoff.
Yeah, that was it was an interesting game.
it was. The reason I didn't like it, I mean, it hit at the perfect time. You're like, hey, go do this. It supports me. I'm like, sure, why not? Play two rounds. It was just so early on in the game that took forever
to get a match. Started. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did some things very well. And for those that are actually interested, the game's name is Suspects Mystery Mention.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
It is an Among Us clone. They did some stuff that's really cool, and then they completely missed out on a few things, like why is there a friend list when I can't join my friend in a lobby for a specific game? Stuff like that, So hopefully they fix that later on. The game has promise.
I like the graphics a little bit better. I liked, I liked there's some, the when you do a task, there's more puzzle aspect to it. It was cool enough. It's just slow. And honestly, not just the slow part, I just don't have time to play with other people. Hell, we talked about how I didn't have hardly time to log into my game, which has changed. But yeah, you can find me across the web at Rock Out of Podcasting and Charles McFall, and still love Slay the Spire. Working.
Oh, you're still playing that?
Oh god, yeah. I mean, I go up and down, but I never completely stop. It's like, the chances of your gerbil killing you in your sleep are not high, but never zero.
But they're not zero,
exactly. Right. So I mean, there'll be days I go and don't play it, but then it'll cycle back up too. It's the last thing I like to do at night before I go to sleep, type of deal. And what I do, a lot of people hate this. I love the separation. So my phone, I've got one. I mean, they're all the same characters, but I've got certain sets unlocked and different things. I'm making a path here on the phone. Pull up my tablet, totally different game because I've been able to progress differently with the same characters there. Doesn't really change it other than it just gives you a different style. I don't know. I just enjoy it. So there's that. Hey. Unlike these jamokes over here, I'll be at Dragon Con September 1st through the 5th in Galleria 6, 7, and the Salon East and West and all that jazz. You don't know, Kurt.
I do.
Did you hear about last night?
Yeah.
Now, I got to say this. For those of you who don't know Phil, go check out Botched. Phil puts on a very great face up front, but he does not take good news well. He doesn't take bad news well. He just doesn't take it well, which is not what I heard about him from his dating life. But no. So last night, Kurt, you'll love this. You'll love this. So I'm talking to Scott, who is my second in command at Dragon Con, and we're talking tech. And then Regina, who is the program director, calls me. And her short version is, hey, I've got this big hole in the big grand salon, which is 1,500 people. How about we move Botched up? I'm like, let's do it. Let's knock it out. Give them some bigger room to play in. And so I text Phil. And I went, hey, bud, got some bad news about Dragon Con. I just hit send. And that was it. Not even 45 seconds later. Oh, what's up? Time for a call? And I was talking to my wife. We're hanging out at the bowling alley. And I was like, yeah, I'll text him back and give him some more grief. Didn't even give me time, just blowing up my phone. And so I sent him a voicemail. Blows up my phone again. And I just did it on purpose. I'm walking out, I was like, hey, man, sorry. Oh. And he's braced. He is braced. He's like,
yep.
All right, man. So what's going on, bud? And they're like, well, told him this real drawn-out story about how she called me and talked about the, I was just circling around, just torturing him. And finally went, and, unfortunately, you're going to be moved up to the Salon East ballroom, the Salon Grand East, and you have 1,500 people you can entertain now. And he about died. He's like, oh my God, you just made me want to have a cigarette so bad. I was freaking out. I was like, yeah, no, you don't take good news well, so I tried a different tactic. You're welcome. Yep. And so, yeah, they are very happy.
Yeah, I was streaming and he texted me and he said, check your Facebook. I went, okay. He goes, so we're in the ballroom now. It's like, he talked about the grand ballroom, and I said, so are they doing construction on the crystal ballroom?
No, I do love that she's paying attention and she looks at what we do and Regina and what things we talked about is there's a psychology. Of course, there's a psychology to staying in the smaller ballroom because it feels bigger when you have more people in it. And they mostly filled the room last year. We're not turning anybody away, which is typically my standard for going up a size. But because there was an opening, so I'd rather leave a little ballroom open than a big ballroom. And, you know, it's the same time slot and it'll give them more exposure. And I was like, yeah. And the crystal ballroom is hard to find. And honestly, by Sunday night, you're having to fly through the bathroom lines and the parties and the drunken people. And they don't even know there's rooms back there. And at least in the grand.
But the grand ballroom is just right there up those couple of stairs. Exactly. It's just,
as you come up, as far as that, it's going to be fantastic. So I'm very excited for him. So
I'm happy for that and Blood Feud.
Yeah, and Blood Feud needed a big room like that because you got freaking three teams now.
I'm so annoyed that I'm not going.
You know,
I was going to be part of Blood Feud.
Phil says it best, Kurt. Don't be a bitch. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.